Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Torch, Mississippi.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Ooh-wee. Welcome into summertime, friends. Since how summer is it? It is so summer that our one and only producer has actually been out in the woods. I think you picked up a little bit of color upon your pale skin while you were away.
It swept up in the vortex of Rankin County for a week. Well, I didn't make it across the bridge one time. So
that's probably good.
Yeah,
I trust the puppy was happy with all that.
Man, you know, we got enough rain in that he was happy. He loves the rain. He loves playing in it. And you know, he's 100% at everything, whether it's sleeping or fetching or chewing up a tree. So, I've been doing a lot of work in the backyard trying to get a grip on
his destruction.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the only things
time.
We do in
right.
the midsummer are the things we must do.
Right.
And sometimes a puppy is part of that process.
So it's, you know, it's like a Clydesdale is taking over the backyard, and it's you know, it's a lot of fun to watch him play, but the yard has had better days. But I did get a lot done. Put in about 40 nice slate bluish gray stones, and made a patio, and really trying to get a grip on the water.
I understand.
I've done a good job. So I sat out in the rain a lot during the last week and watched where the water was going, and made sure that I knew where I was trying to take it. And then I think I accomplished a lot. And the yard looks better. The plants are happier. The water's going where it needs
to. Well, and hopefully,
and I don't have a mud pit.
I was going to say, and hopefully Hawk has figured out that he can wipe his feet before he goes back in the
house.
Well,
he's smart, and that's the thing. I've been trying to kind of train him to go in a certain way, so I have him an alleyway now where he's gotten good at it. So it's been a very productive week
yard. There has been just enough rain this week that my cats have now got permanent impressions in the couch as they stare out the window. They're not the least bit interested in the other. If there are snakes or toads or any of that, they don't care. They're just like, oh, no wet feet for us. We're staying indoors.
Yeah, both the cats have definitely buddied up lately.
That's right, exactly.
One is taking the back of the house. The other's taking the front.
They've got it covered.
And they've been in no hurry to go outside.
No.
But that's the way it is this time of year. You get all the rain. You hope we don't get a drought again.
Well,
we're
putting it in the bank, and we're hoping that it continues at a reasonable pace. I'm not that confident that it will, but
I was going to ask you what you kind of thought the next month would hold.
Well, thank goodness it's the Garden Mama show and not the Weather Mama show, because I can't do that.
I'll do a little weather for the Delta here when we get done today.
Exactly.
I was hoping my prognostications last week weren't that far off. So.
Probably not. It's a fairly regular pattern at this point. Mm-hmm. And if we are very fortunate, we will continue to have just enough high pressure to keep the hurricanes Texas and Mexico. Y'all, if we can keep pushing those there and pushing them around, I hate it for them, but it would be better for us because we are getting a fair amount of rain. I've not had to go out and, water wilted anything. Do you know what I haven't heard this year is blossom end rot on tomatoes. When we get either too much rain or too little rain, or we don't water in between those times, the bottom of the fruit turns black, and you can't really fix that once it begins. But that's something that we hear most of the time, and not this summer. We've had a better time. In fact, Trey has just sent yet more proof that he can grow tomatoes. I'm amazed. How do you get them to be so perfectly the same? Now, come on. I mean, they're just beautiful. And it's boxes and boxes. We all thought that the Nike swoosh logo was going to be a thing, but now I can look at this picture of Trey's tomatoes and I can see the corner of the box is an Amazon carton. How ubiquitous is that logo that I can see that from, despite all the tomatoes? And of course, he's letting us know by putting out some wonderful seed packets. It's about that time, y'all. Fall gardening, believe it or not, starts in the summer. And if you have If you're one of those folks that has said, oh, golly, this is terrible, my tomatoes croaked, or my squash didn't do this, or my other didn't do that, now's really the time. We get started again on the whole thing all over again, which most people, most places don't get a chance to do. So that's what we talk about here on the Garden Mama Show, as well as all of the crazy things going on in my garden and your garden and the neighbor's garden. In the case of our supertalk.tv today, I think I'm pretty sure that this alocasia leaf is bigger than me, and that's actually how it is. We say these things don't always look like they are in reality, but when you tune into supertalk.tv and take a look, this is in fact the crocosmia and elephant ears in my back garden.
And they are that big, yes.
And they really are. They are that big.
That is not
now, the raindrops on the raindrops on the split-leaf philodendron was just one of those kind of arty things that I looked at, and I thought, that's so pretty. It'll be dry in a minute. I should
take a
picture.
You're getting a photog bug. I told you, once you got rolling with all those photos, you're going to be looking at that yard going, man,
I'm letting them out. For 14 years, I had to write two columns a week based on what was growing in my world, and I did get to be a decent photographer, but I tend to think that I would look at other people's more happily. And lately, it's okay. If you see a thing you do not recognize and it has brown bugs in it looking things, they're really not. They're seed pods on Alstroemeria. And if you have that sweet parrot lily that pops up usually with red flowers in our part of the world, this is how it looks when it goes the other direction. And of course, mother of thousands or mother of millions is one of my favorites. But the reason I took the picture of it is because it is leaning against a thing that looks like Tom Terrific's hat, you know, but it's not. And it's actually one of the many feeder sorts of things that you scoop feed in, and it's easy to move feed from place to place. But it also makes a pretty nifty Tom Terrific hat. I hope you have things going on.
You're talking about that, I mean, you know, that's from, what was it, yes. Volunteers. Well, Tom Hanks, and you know, he uses the
that's another piece of it. That's another piece of it. It sure is. That's funny. Good morning, Thomas and Macomb. Hope you are well. Things are going well. Oh my goodness, Lottie got a new pool. Andrea, she's so cute. I don't think you're going to get her out of there either. She is a cute dog, and she loves her new spot. That's fun. Let's see. I'm going to check this. I'll read this one in a minute or so. And yes, we do send that photo, Betty, because I think I know what you're talking about, but we will make sure. Okay. My goodness. Today is National Daniel Day. I don't usually call that to your attention, except that I have Daniels now in my family, so I'm calling out the Daniels. There are a few other things going on today, just in case you needed some inspiration. It is Fried Chicken Day. Isn't every day Fried Chicken Day?
And I've been out of the loop enough on this day in.
It's also hand roll day, so you should take me to lunch, but yeah. Then, you know, we'll see. We'll see about that.
The fried chicken.
But every day is fried chicken day.
Here in Mississippi. Come on.
You know it's true.
And I want somebody in our listener group, and I know we have folks in this area, but Port Gibson, there's a guy down there that is nationally famous, and it's called Papa D's Fried Chicken.
Okay.
And it is supposedly the best. It got rated one of the, like, number one fried chicken in the country or something like that.
But if
you're familiar with Papa D's, it's like a throwback. You know, the prices are amazing. I've seen the menu, and it's straightforward chicken.
If you can rise to the top of the fried chicken heap in Mississippi, you have done something.
You have arisen.
You have definitely made something.
But I want, if anybody knows that, I've been wanting to, you know, haul, you know what, down there one day and get some fried chicken,
some
because
fried
when
chicken.
You hear about great
today
fried
might be
chicken,
the day.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a beautiful drive down there. I mean, you get the hills and kudzu and everything.
One of the prettiest things that, as I recall, are crepe myrtles in this time of year, and that whole part of the world is just saturated in some beautiful species. I know it's not native. Y'all don't start on me. I like crepe myrtles when they behave themselves.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, the not crepe murdering, but, you know, taking them up, continuing to prune upward upwards and upwards and upwards. I'm sorry, I hit the mic there. But as I was going up the tree, but I have two of them that have been pruned correctly over the years. Mm-hmm. And man, they're so beautiful.
Aren't
the way
they
go straight up and then they kind of spill over.
Yep.
And eventually you get them high enough where they're like an actual tree.
And that is, in fact, how they are supposed
to
be appreciated.
That looks so pretty that way versus just the kind of brambly, it looks like the neck beard at the bottom, you know, you're trying to keep that trim down
dear.
A little bit.
Well, and unfortunately, we came up with watermelon pink crepe myrtles. People wanted to plant them everywhere, even where they really didn't fit, like at the edges of your house. They're going to hit the roof on the way up.
Yeah, run over to somebody else's
house.
That
kind of stuff, exactly. And the one in my back garden fell over from the neighbors in Katrina, and in fact, still grows. I mean, but it's a very gnarly tree. It's 30 feet tall if it was standing straight up. And you know, there are a lot of them like Natchez that are intended to be left alone entirely, that we appreciate so much for their barks and all of the other the features.
Will the lower,
as well as
the lower arms fall off naturally if it grows, you know, wild? Or is it going to grow just, you know, big and thick?
No, if you left it alone, if you had a crepe myrtle seedling tree, for example, and you left it alone, it would make a trunk and it would make blooms and then it would reseed and form a thicket.
Okay.
So that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the individual trees than the majority of the cases.
So it'd make like a big thicket of crepe myrtles.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be almost unmanageable.
Yeah. Because those limbs, they get pretty, I mean, they go out a long ways at the bottom.
They have to have their, they have
so
to have
they'll
space.
Grow into each other, basically.
Yeah, they have to have space. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, you end up with just a whole bunch of seedlings, which are not, you know, maybe 60% of the seedlings will eventually turn into a tree, but the other 40% are never going to be any more than just thickety mess. You see that when you drive up to a house and the, you know, things have not been tended to greatly, and the next thing you know, you're looking at the crepe myrtle, and it looks like it's got just as many branches coming out the bottom as it does the top. That's what happens.
Okay.
They send out lots of. They're trying to survive, like everything is, and the more chances they have to survive, the better the crepe myrtle thinks it is. Now, if you have a tree that's otherwise been fine and it suddenly starts sending off those sideways shoots from the edge of the trunk, not from the ground. The ones on the ground are coming either from seedlings or from the roots. But if your crepe myrtle is sending them off the side of the trunk, withhold nitrogen because you're stimulating it a little bit too much. And if you possibly can, get your thumb on there and take them off when they're still small enough to wipe off with your thumb. For some reason or another, that tends to work better than going in there and chopping. So just a bit of information, a little bit of an idea. Let's see. Lady May in Ocean Springs for fried chicken is getting a call out today. That's always fun.
Lady May in Ocean Springs. That's mental note. Thank you.
He's making a map, making y'all.
Mental note map of Mississippi fried chicken. So whoever has the best, I want to know about it because, you know, you got Hey Dad and Robbie Falk out doing the catfish tour. And God bless them.
Thank goodness.
Somebody's got to do it,
thank
you know.
Goodness.
And Paul and I laughed.
One of
that,
my
that
very
sounds
favorite
like,
things.
Sounds like a great tour to
one
be
of my very favorite but things
you,
in
you
the
and
world.
I need to do the fried chicken tour.
I can do that. Now, this is an interesting set of pictures. You did a really, really good job. I like this. This is Webster County, and the fruit trees are there. What's going on with these two? They're pale. And I can tell you they have leaf spot already on them, but it doesn't look like there is any fruit to be compromised. So I'm going to suggest that what you need to do is get take a look, for example, first of all, at what you're fertilizing with and if, in fact, what you're spraying the tree with. If you aren't spraying apple trees, for the most part, especially when they're young like this, they will get leaf spot, they will get insects in the fruit if there's any fruit, and sometimes they can even have things that will knock the flowers off. So what we're looking, you know, take the flower buds off in the summer that you wouldn't have in the next winter's bloom. So my suggestion now is going to be, because the leaves are so yellow, I want you to fertilize, but I want you to fertilize with a fruit tree formula. If you can't find that, get yourself just a really good general purpose fertilizer. There's certainly natural sources as well as commercial sources for that. But you need to add some, you don't want to just put nitrogen in because that's a little bit intense at this time of the year for an apple tree. You want to give it a balanced formula fertilizer at this point. And as those leaves fall off that are spotted, pick them up and get them out of the orchard. Now, what you're going to do next is you're going to mark your calendar for next spring, and as soon as the leaves come out, you're going to spray with a fungicide or with fruit tree spray that has fungicide in it to inoculate those leaves. So this summer, the thing to do for a young fruit tree like that, that the leaves are yellow and it's not looking so happy, fertilize it, make sure it has water but not, you know, doesn't sit in a flood or anything. And then, of course, give yourself the opportunity to mark your calendar for next spring. So as soon as they, you'll prune them in January, they'll bloom usually in February, and then at that point, the leaves will begin to come out and you will begin to inoculate them so they don't get the fungus again. Stressed trees get the fungus. Some years, everything gets the fungus. There's a lot of hydrangeas that have a leaf spot on them right now. It's not anything to worry about in terms of the health of the shrub overall, but you do want to deal with it next year and be sure you pick up the debris. That's an important part of it. Really nice stuff. What are you doing, Trey? Now, see, he's already having BLTs this morning, y'all, and he's got walking cactus. So I think Trey's in a very good mood today. It's all those tomatoes.
He's in a good place.
Fun stuff. All right, Betty, I'm going to crawl up in here. I think you've got aphids, but I'm going to look up in here and make sure that I can see them and I know what you're talking about. Really interesting. Let's see. I don't know what this says. There are roses, daylilies, irises planted years ago, and a bunch of other stuff in the flower bed that's not runaway weed garden. I love that. This is always the unknown species, the oddball plant. You know, there's all kind of names for what happens in a bed. And I would suggest that the first thing to do is after the next rain, literally get out and pull them up. And then you're going to mulch around the desirable plants and fertilize the desirable plants and then continue to just do a little bit of pulling up to try and get that out of there. Okay. I think that's important. I've got to remember to look because I like the other cut better. That's a technical thing. It's a note to myself, y'all. Y'all make notes to yourself? Do you tell yourself what to do and then write it down? Sometimes you get up and you look at that note and you say, wonder why I wanted to tie that tighter. What was I tying? Who knows? Certainly wasn't the tomatoes. They're doing great. All right, now, this is the Garden Mama Show. I'm here, you're here, Lance is here. We'll be back.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.gov.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every day.
Hey, John.
Well, it's all.
So what do you do to beat the heat? Do you play like my cat, sit on the back of the couch and stare out the window? Do you do like me, sit in front of the fan no matter where you are in the house, just turn the fan on? Or are you like some other folks and you just try to keep it quiet and hold it all down a little bit? A recent study of language in, and this must have been an incredible experience, 7 million parliamentary speeches from around the world, governmental type speeches. Whew. What they have discovered is this high temperatures lead to a significant and immediate reduction in language complexity. I don't know if you feel that way, but I certainly do. Do you find yourself saying uh-huh a lot instead of yes or maybe or I don't know? We have some more chicken recommendations, y'all. Excuse me. We've got from Ron in Ocean Springs, who we know knows his stuff. It's the Hertz Chicken Buffet. We're going to have to stay in Ocean Springs for a while to
Hertz,
get all this chicken.
Like H-E-R-T-Z?
That's what he says on Highway 90. And I, you know, my heart is on Highway 90 every day anyway. Love that part of the world. So we've got some more suggestions for our chicken tour, y'all.
And thank you. This is important information.
It is very important.
And our listeners need to know this.
We do. We want them. We want those people to be going in and saying hello.
Hey, we heard this on the Garden Mom. We heard
right.
You got the
That's
best
right.
chicken in the area. And they're going to go, you know we do.
Exactly. We sincerely do.
Highly recommended.
Exactly. This is a good crepe myrtle question. How do you control the many root shoots that appear several feet away from the main tree?
Diligence.
Well, there are those who would say with a lawnmower, but I would not say that with a lawnmower. The problem is the roots have gotten a little bit shallow, and so therefore it's easier for them to sprout. So yes, you need to cut them off and carefully, but then after that, it's a matter of mulching and also, frankly, reducing the amount of fertilizer that you're using on the tree, or targeting it simply to the drip line of the tree as opposed to out farther, which the roots go out farther. We all know that. But we may not be, it sometimes happens when we have fertilized the lawn around the crepe myrtle and there's not enough of a barrier area. So mulch under the crepe myrtle, keep the grass away from it, and also reduce the amount of nitrogen in the fertilizer that you're using, which may mean keeping your lawn food a little bit further away from the tree. Usually that's how that turns out. Crepe myrtles are so fun and so beautiful, and they can have so many odd issues. I have actually had one person ask me a couple of times about the crepe myrtle bowl that I talk about. I have one that is just beautiful crepe myrtle wood, and it's because the tree fell over in a storm, and I had a friend who was luckily a woodworker, and that's how I got the bowl. But I don't know why we don't do more with that wood. And we may be seeing more of that as time goes by. Interesting question about the aphids on the milkweed. I really do think, Betty, in Hattiesburg, they look like aphids, and they look like aphids that have also had some sooty mold attached to them. That's why they're orange, and there's also black streaks. This is one of those deals where I'm literally going to tell you to stand back and shoot it with your hose with as strong a force of water as you can do without knocking the plant out of the ground first. Then secondly, because we want the milkweed to stay edible for the monarch butterflies that are going to be passing through here shortly, if they're not already, we want to be sure that they can lay their eggs there. So you want to clean the plant off with water first, and then if necessary, you're going to use a soapy water spray, put that on there, and then come back the next day and see if any new aphids are there. If they are, spray it again. But you can do this with soapy water and not create a toxic environment for the future eggs that we're in hopes the monarch will lay. We'll see. Sometimes the plant just can't make it. Not everything does. But hopefully we can recover this one.
Where does the monarch butterfly lay its eggs?
Well, generally speaking, near the milkweed, because that's the preferred host for the larvae.
Okay.
You know,
so
mama needs to put you right there where you can get your breakfast when you come to.
What would I be looking for as far as a nest or a cocoon or what? How do they, I mean, like, what's their breeding ritual and egg-laying ritual?
Just classic stuff. I didn't put it into the pictures for here because they're a little gnarly, but I did put on social media. And by the way, Trey, thank you for forwarding that to everybody. I have two parsley plants. One has been completely devoured. Then they'd already gone to bloom. This is exactly what I hope happens. And then the other is a swallowtail the other photo is the swallowtail larva getting fatter by the minute on the other parsley plant. Now, this was quite an adventure. I'm always in favor of the swallowtails, but the two parsley plants weren't as close together as I thought they were, and I found the caterpillar down on the ground in between the two containers of parsley. So we had to do a little moving, a little talking to the thing. Come on, you want to go up here? Let's go. Let's move up here. And now the thing is absolutely beautiful and has gotten very fat, and that's how we want that all to work out. But what you're looking for are, usually in the case of the monarch, particularly in the swallowtails, there's striped caterpillars that are devouring, let's see, dill, parsley, milkweed, you know, the favorite thing of that particular one. And then when you find the chrysalis hanging there, you know that you've won and you're going to have a butterfly in a few days from there. So that's what we look for and that's what we see. It's really joyful. Oh, this is nice. 4 o'clock seeds. The morning and afternoon sun on 4 o'clocks, and the flowers do not open quite completely. Well, they might need more sun, or you might just actually need to water them a little bit more than if they're not in a space where they're getting a lot of rain. They may just not be able to open completely. Could be the sun, could be the water. The plants look beautiful, and it might just be the first flowers are not doing as well as we'd like for them to. Beautiful. I love that. Oh boy, it's blueberry season's over. Yep, time to prune. Oh my goodness. I went out to prune, and there were still blueberries on two of my bushes, so I had to go back in the house. It's like, okay, wait for it to rain again, see if the birds will get the last of the blueberries off of there.
My mom will come fight those birds for you.
They're not as sweet as they were.
Those original 4 bazillion you had. Yeah. They went really good in vodka and cranberry, I think.
I imagine they did. I can imagine they did. There are really lots of them, and they're taking up way too much space in my freezer right now because they're going to turn into lemonade or something down the way for the big celebration next fall. This is great. Greg and Vaughn, this is a good one. I'm going to prune the blueberries, and they're just beautiful. This is just a lovely, lovely spread, just gorgeous.
And the clouds behind it.
Isn't that pretty? So pretty.
Beautiful setting.
So, so pretty.
Great picture of the...
He says, last year the drought did a number. That's true. They didn't put on a lot, and they didn't produce as much. They're drip irrigated, but it was just not enough. I would prune the tips to try and stimulate some new growth. That's just spectacular, Greg.
Blueberries too. Wow.
I just want to go there and stand there, and appreciate the world. It's beautiful.
It's like you're out in the middle of the, you know, perfection.
I mean, it's
nature.
It's just beautiful.
You see no houses. No
y'all,
roads.
Y'all see things that most people don't get to see in their whole life. And y'all are so kind to send them to us so that we can put them out and share them with everybody. Beautiful, beautiful views, beautiful sights. You know, I would certainly think that the organic fertilizer that you have, Greg, is going to be a big help to the blueberries. I would prune them a little bit just because we want to stimulate some new growth, especially back down on some of the stems that were a little bit iffy from the drought. And that in turn does give you more flowers and fruit next year if all goes as we predict. If we have another patch of 100 degree temperatures this summer, we still won't get much new growth. That's difficult. But I'm looking forward to a whole lot more. oh, my goodness, Andy, you have some really fascinating things going on your lemon tree. That's something. The garden in Vaughn is beautiful. That is just gorgeous. I love those red zinnias. So, so pretty. It's so smart to plant annual flowers amongst your vegetables, you know. Not only does it bring in some more pollinators who are looking for all that bright color, it gives you a pretty picture to look at, and it also creates diversity in the planting space. And that's always beneficial when it comes to trying to fool the insects at least a time or two. Let's see, that's a good question. I would just cut the suckers off unless you're trying to get some that are the crepe myrtles sprouting in the ground, unless you want to dig up one or two and pot them for something or give them to somebody, you can do that. It's a root cutting, and you can do that. I'm not in favor of it. I think it takes a long time, and sometimes, frankly, when you see that, you'll see a test of those that have been done, the root cuttings are slightly faster than the simple whips that you might have tried to root, but they are also sometimes not particularly well shaped. And actually, that's what, you know, can make a big difference in how you feel about the plant later on, is actually what it looks like. So I would just cut them. It would be my choice. Anyway, so that's an interesting bunch of pictures this morning, y'all. Thank you. I love that. I have a couple of things. This week, the serious plant that I literally chopped up and poked holes in and put in fresh soil and rearranged the roots and cut off the bottom and did all this. It's so much fun to do that when there's people around, as we like we had at the Lakeland meeting, and there were people staring at me like I'd lost my mind. Well, I'm happy to tell you that she bloomed this week, and she's covered in new leaves as well. So it turns out the Sirius Hospital is something I'm pretty capable of. If you need oversized plants that are kind of impractical in Zone 8, talk to me. I'm full of them. Jackie and Brandon has got holes. Oh, yeah, making a lace-like appearance in her perennial dinner plate hibiscus. We call those skeletonizing insects. There are a couple of them that do this. They're in the case of hibiscus, they're generally a little, the hibiscus sawfly beetle, the sawfly. But what happens is they eat everything except for the veins of the leaf, and that's why you get that pretty lace pattern. It's not really pretty for us who want the leaf to be intact, but that's how it's distinctive. It is something that you can control with spinosad, and it is also the creatures that my advice would be to be sure that you're not harboring anything in the mulch underneath the plants, because sometimes they'll hide there on a hot day. And most of the time, though, you never see them. And so it's a good opportunity to pick up the debris and spray the plants to dissuade them from continuing to feed on your dinner plate hibiscus leaves. One of the things that we talk about when we talk about hibiscus are this dinner plate type. They're perennial. They bloom in the middle of the summer. That's one of the reasons they're so spiffy. Their downside, of course, is that they have big, big leaves. That's how you get the big, big flowers, is the big, big leaves. But they also they're not shiny. They're not fancy. And the flowers don't last too long in the way that, for example, the classics do. The one that we're looking at now, if you're on the TV with us, is a really beautiful example of a dinner plate. And the dinner plate hibiscus is one that is literally the size of plates. That's how they got their common names. But they don't last long as a cut flower at all. They really don't last very long in the garden either. They go ahead and give you, they give you a really pretty show because they bloom. Many, many buds will bloom, but they just don't all bloom at the same time. So it's a nice plant. Love that purple salvia. That is really, really a beautiful plant. One of my very favorites. Now, this is a really good, Allison, this is a very good example. And I like your kindness to say the unkempt crepe myrtle. Yeah, it's too close to the house. And because it has been too close to the house since it was planted or the house was built, whichever happened second, it goes up and it literally falls over. Now, there are some beautiful weeping crepe myrtles. There are varieties that do that, and they have a lovely form, and, you know, there's no question but that they're just beautiful. But it's also true that we have to realize this one didn't intend to be this way. It should have been out in its own space. But it's what beautiful flowers. We're in the process of collecting, I know that sounds crazy, but we're collecting crepe myrtle flowers. There are a lot of things that you think about when you're going to have a wedding. And when you're going to have a wedding and you happen to be someone who really doesn't like to put up with the rice, you know, that people throw at the end of the service or the reception, and the whole business of bird seed is a problem because it's bird seed and it's going to come up in the lawn and then it's another problem. Well, we're doing crepe myrtle flowers. we're going to surprise everybody. And they're really beautiful, and they turn into confetti. I just was very surprised. I have such smart children. I'm lucky. Got great gardeners, got real gardeners around here. Y'all have got some good stuff going on. Good morning to Paula. Good morning, Jackie. I tell you what, those hibiscus will put on new leaves quickly. Just get them sprayed and then give yourself some fertilizer and it'll be on its way again. Say good morning to everybody and come right back. This is the Garden Mama Show.
You know that nowadays more people are cutting the cord, ditching traditional cable and satellite television, and instead just streaming everything. With SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's over-the-top advertising, you can get your business seen on streaming TV. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted team can show you how your ad dollars can go further to reach a more targeted audience. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Can only hope. Interestingly enough, everybody has attitudes about rain. Everybody has attitudes about everything. I have attitudes about topiary plants. I like them. I think if you have enough time and energy to keep one going, it's a brilliant way to, in for example, keep a crepe myrtle. And I like that. That's a good one. Thank you. Let's see. All right. Good question about soaking ferns. This is Jackie and Brandon. She says she has been told to put Epsom salts in the bucket, and how much do you put and all that sort of stuff. Those are good questions. The answer is it really doesn't. There's not a formula that you can go to, you know, epsomsalts.org or whatever it is, and they'll tell you. But my point is that I don't have a research article to tell you exactly how much works. If you're deciding to put Epsom salts into something like the fern soak, where you take the 5-gallon bucket of water, you take an 8 to 10 inch fern basket and put the whole thing in the water to hydrate it, you can certainly, in that amount of water, you can add maybe a quarter cup of Epsom salt without any problem at all, maybe as much as a half a cup. I don't know. It doesn't take a lot if it's going to work at all. What you're trying to get from it, however, is calcium and manganese, and probably you can do the same thing with just a little fertilizer in the water that you would be giving the fern anyway. So I would prefer to see you mix up some fertilizer in the water, plunge the whole basket in there, leave it for, you know, maybe 30, 40 minutes, maybe forget about it and leave it longer. The fern's not going to care, and take it out and let it drain out, and it'll be fine. But Epsom salts, of course, are one of those things that there are people who absolutely swear by it, and there are other people who say, well, I don't know, that's really not so, you know, doesn't make any difference, it has all these other things in it. And that's kind of up to you. If you are a person who has had difficulty getting your rose flowers to hold their flowers, their shape, if you are a person who has had trouble getting bell peppers to hold their stiff cell walls, you're somebody who will probably enjoy using Epsom salts, because that's what it's for, is to build cell walls. And it does a good job of that. It does a good job of that.
Does it work in humans? Like Epsom salt, does it create cell walls, or does it strengthen cells, or do we have the same?
The effect it has on us is more analgesic, so mm-hmm. I don't know.
I was just curious.
That's why we soak our mm-hmm. feet in
it. Oh, yeah, soak in Epsom mm-hmm. salt. Mm-hmm. No, not regularly, but, man, whenever you feel like you need a nice soak, throw some Epsom salts. Mm-hmm. I was curious, does it just pull the pain out of your body and the
There are people
creakiness.
Who would say it does. They would say that it does. I was interested to note that in some very fancy, very expensive bath bombs, mm-hmm. I'm not a bath bomb person, but I'm aware of them, one of the ingredients is actually the same things that are in Epsom salt. So it all kind of works together, I guess. I don't know. So if any of you have experience with this, let us know. Oh, Jeff, that's beautiful. And the big old, that's a really beautiful larvae. I would have thought that was an orange dog, but I don't know. It is one of the, it's a larvae that doesn't look like a larvae. It's really just lovely. Really beautiful. I love this. The Kathy in Zone 8 has got tomatoes, and I mean, she got tomatoes. There's a slew. She's got yellow pear tomatoes. She's got grape tomatoes. She's got cherry tomatoes. She's got what looks like Juliet, you know, the kind of long, narrow ones. She's probably got some Romas up in here and some other salad tomatoes. They're just beautiful. And she says, they were started from seeds. It's been a journey, but in the end, they did very well. Now, that brings me to the word journey. I don't know. It wouldn't have been the same if they had said Star Journey, right? It had to be Star Trek. But isn't a trek a journey? I don't know. It's a question. One of those word things that we word nerds can't help but ask. Oh, this is sweet. What a nice idea. Thank you very much for the wedding to use the flowers from the crepe myrtle. Driving past a white crepe myrtle before a rainstorm, it really did look like snowball as the flowers are flying all over the place. And they're so pretty. They're really lovely. And it is, it's one of those things, you know, if you didn't ever like crepe myrtles, this would not appeal to you. But we're kind of into it. We like it. We think it's fun. I found out this week that there are marmorated stink bugs in one of my neighbor's tomato patch. This is not good. At this time of the year, if your tomato plants look good, you're trying to keep them healthy and happy through the summer so that they can begin to bear again when the nights fall below 70 degrees. Unfortunately, marmorated stink bugs, or just what we call stink bugs, they're brown, about half an inch long, maybe a little longer sometimes, look like a shield. They will be one of the pests that will tear it up, and they will ruin not only the fruit that's on there because they sting it, and then you think it's not ripened and it's overripe already because they've ruined it, or they'll actually deplete the resources of the plants themselves by their feeding. So it is something to pay attention to. I did not know until this week, learn something new every day. They were, you know, you always think about these things, they were here a long time, like fire ants, you know, 1918 into Mobile and all that. And people in Mobile are going, no, they didn't. And the answer is yes, they did. But anyway, Allentown, Pennsylvania is the first place that a stink bug was captured. That doesn't mean that that was the first time they were around. This is the first time anybody grabbed it and identified it. And in fact, it hadn't taken them any time to fill the entire east side of the United States with bad problems. We don't like them. They're not a bug that we would like to have around. And unfortunately, they are around a lot. So it's something to think about when you're looking at them, when you're looking at your pests. And oftentimes these hard-bodied pests are a big problem because even if you use insecticides, they're difficult to control. There's not a lot of penetration and all that sort of stuff. So the first thing to do, if you've got squash beetles, you got cucumber beetles, or you have any of these other critters, lay out something on the ground in the early morning and shake the plants and see how many you can get to fall out. That's a good start. It's not the answer, but it's a good start to the control. So that's fun. There are so many different kinds of bugs, but not as many. Not as many as we might think. Good question, Andrea. This is fun. Yeah, that rattlesnake, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, rattlesnake master. Pretty, pretty. Anyway, Texas Star hibiscus question. I've never deadheaded them. Do I just cut the top off if I want them to start blooming again? Yes, but don't cut them too deeply. I would say one of the ways to get them to branch is to cut that center piece, but don't cut it any shorter than the ones around it. And then you're more likely to get a branching effect if you'll do that. Hibiscus usually respond that way, and Texas Star is not any different. Oh, that's beautiful. Love, love, love. Now, these are beautiful purple elephant ears. I will tell you, when you see pictures, there's a whole lot of AI out there. There are a lot of flowers that don't exist that are being dreamed up by our AI companions. I call them that in a very nice way. But that's really beautiful. I love the hostas with them. That's nice. Very, very nice. Interesting stuff. There are a few other things that we are looking at. I hesitate, Lance, to ask you if how often you do your laundry, because since you've just been on vacation, I imagine it's all done now, because most people end up doing that. But ordinarily, we don't necessarily have what we're looking for in the laundry world. You're trying to do sustainable stuff. If you hate to do it, you're probably going to end up washing more often, and that busts up the sustainability of it all. I'm kind of a bleach girl myself. Guess what? We're going to talk. We have so many things going on in the next hour. You're just not going to believe it. Stick around.
Like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, come on, if that's all night. Just like the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the night.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort, from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
You're next.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, you know, there's something about being born in July. There's something about summertime. There's something about all my favorite things happening all at once. And I'm so happy to tell you that I am going to be able to attend with this radio program. That's right. July 20th, we will be at the Mississippi Watermelon Festival in Mize. Everybody who listens to this show knows that I've been hoping for this. And sure enough, today, thank you very much. Teresa Stewart's on the phone with us. She's the assistant fire chief, kind of runs this whole thing. She's the person everybody pointed me to say, tell me about the festival. Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. We're so glad that you're going to get to come and be with us this year.
I'm so excited.
Looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun. Y'all have the coolest website. You know,
thank you.
It's beautiful.
We have a guy that works really hard on that.
Well, it's really clear. It tells you that this is a benefit for, particularly for the fire department, and that almost everybody who volunteers for it is part of your force. So tell us a little bit about that and how that works out.
The Mississippi Watermelon Festival is actually our fundraiser for the fire department, and everybody in the fire department are volunteers, and they all work on the festival, and their families and their friends, anybody that we can press into service works on the festival, and everybody's a volunteer.
I love
it. And all the proceeds go to the fire department to help support our department.
I just love it. You have some really cool entertainment coming. Not that I'm not wonderful, but I don't sing. And so you've got some really great opportunities for folks to come out and enjoy some musicians, some, quite frankly, some of my very favorite. I'm a big Forged in Fire fan, so I'm really excited y'all've got this guy. Season 7, by the way, episode 32. If y'all don't watch Forged in Fire, go watch it, because this is a blast. It's so much.
Brian is from Mass.
Yes, so, I mean, tell. So tell me about him. Tell me about him. This is so great.
He is from Mass, and he has a shop there now where he builds blades and he teaches people and helps people to build blades. But he was on Forged in Fire several seasons ago, and he's just a great guy, local guy. He plays.
It's Lucky Town Customs, and he is really super talented. I mean, that's one of those things where you just go, how did anybody learn to do that? Well, they learned to do that. That's the point, and he teaches.
I don't know. That's a question you'll have to ask him that
Saturday. That's wonderful, though. It is one of those, it's a craft. We don't think about, we think about people doing one thing and another, but we don't understand sometimes the history of something as wonderful as these blades that he makes. But I got to tell you,
he makes them out of everything. I mean,
oh, that's cool, too. You know, they really do. It's a big challenge to do all of that. One of the other things that's going on, y'all have a run, and, of course, that, you know, start early in the morning for that one.
Well, no, the run is on Friday night.
On Friday. I see. Well, that's even better. That's more fun. Tell me about admission and parking and what people need to know when they're going to come to the festival in Mize the 19th and 20th of July.
Okay, we have a Friday is $10 for adults and $5 for children. And then we have Saturday, it's $15 for adults and $5 and children. But if you're planning on coming both days, you can buy Friday, you can buy a $20 weekend pass for adults. And
that's
it's the
smart.
Same price for children, $10 for children.
That's so smart.
So you can buy a weekend pass so you can just come and go as you want. We don't have parking lots. We are in a small town, so parking is where you can find it, unfortunately. And there's, you know, side streets and business parking lots. Some of the businesses are open, but a lot of the business is closed for the day. We just ask that you don't park in someone's yard unless they give you permission.
Good idea. That's a real good idea. You all, I like the whole attitude of the instructions for people that are coming. Bring your patience. Bring your lawn chair. Don't bring a cooler. You don't need that. You got plenty of watermelon and hand sanitizer. I love that. You know, one of the things when we go to eat in public, people too often walk around for another hour afterwards going, what's on my hands? And you all said not only do we have it, but you should bring some. It's such a great idea. So smart.
We do have some, but a lot of people like to have their own personal. Mm-hmm. And because, sometimes it's hard to get to the restroom to wash your hands or, you know, because sometimes there's lines and
There's actually more watermelon to eat.
Yes, and that way you can just wipe your hands, and you know, especially if they bring the wipes, you know. And it's hot, so you need something to wipe off with, because unfortunately July is hot.
It really is. And then I have a story that some of my listeners have heard, but I come from North Louisiana as a baby, born in July, and my mother would always bake the birthday cake. Well, one summer it was too hot. And she took a Charleston gray watermelon, sliced it in half, and put my candles in it. And we blew out the candles and ate the watermelon. And I have ever since then, that has been my true symbol of summertime, is my birthday watermelon.
And that's great. And we have Shannon Powell of Powell Farms has furnished our watermelons the last few years. And he's furnishing them again this year. And he grows some excellent watermelons.
Love it.
And they're Smith County watermelons. Of course, we have a number of producers here, Clyde McGee, and, we always have good watermelons, and we slice and cut watermelons from the time we open to the time we close.
I love that.
And it's free to eat as much as you want.
Well, and this is the sort of thing when you go to look at the festival website for something, you may or may not be able to tell who it is that's doing what. You have the farmers' names and their phone numbers on the website. I love that. It is so smart.
A lot of people call us looking for watermelons.
Of course.
We try to provide that. I mean, because the festival supports the fire department, but in turn, we try to promote our farmers. We try to, you know, like if you go to our Facebook page, we've done a lot of interviews with some of the farmers this year with our Watermelon Queen and them talking about their farms and stuff. So we try to support the watermelon because the watermelon supports us.
Well, and exactly, you will hear about Smith County watermelons far away from Smith County because they are superior. And I'm saying that as one who has eaten watermelon from a lot of places. I can tell you the best ones are right here. The other thing that y'all have going on, I do appreciate that there's so many parts of the community that are involved. You not only, I mean, obviously Watermelon Queen, Miley Looper, such a lovely girl, and all of her court is so beautiful as well. But y'all have a car, bike, and truck show. I mean, that's fun. There's something for everybody here.
We try to have a little something. We want people to come and feel like they can enjoy the day, and we have, you know, a lot of things going on, and the car show is on Saturday. They're on Main Street, and they start coming in early, and they're, you know, people come through and view the cars. That's run by one of our fire department members and some of his family and friends.
Those are so much fun because people inevitably talk about, oh yeah, I saw one of those back in the when, or I dated a guy that had that, or my girlfriend
had that. My mom had that,
exactly.
Or my daddy had that.
Exactly. It's so much fun. And that's kind of what this is really all about. Get to know mice, get to know watermelons, and get to know some folks. We're going to have a blast.
Well, and we've tried to keep it a very family-friendly event. It's still all about bringing your family and having a good time. We have a small kids zone with a lot of inflatables, and then we have, you know, some stuff for the older kids. We have vendors with shopping. We have food. We have entertainment. We're still adding some stuff for during the day. We just signed a band this weekend that's going perform Saturday morning.
I love that.
A lot of people know. So we're excited about that. So everything is constantly being updated on our Facebook page.
Well, Teresa Stewart, you are my new best friend. I'm really happy that we were able to make contact for this. And we're going to talk again next Saturday to bring everybody up to date on what else is going to be happening when they all come with us to Mize. It's going to be fun. It's going
to
be a blast. And I so appreciate being invited. Thank you very, very much.
All right, thank you.
Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
All right. You know, this is so much fun. Mike has already sent in a note. Don't forget the 5K race on Friday night. He wanted to be sure that we knew about that. And I love the logo that Lance has put up on the television. It's just really a joy. Really a good logo. I like particularly that the watermelon has a bite taken out of it. That's very important to me. Well, it's just my thing, and I look forward to it. We'll be in Mize, Mississippi, July 20th, broadcasting live from 8 until 10 in the morning, and then eating all of the watermelon that, you know, I can possibly manage to eat. Let me run back to a couple of questions that we had. Then we're going to welcome Peaches in here. He's coming in this morning. One of the interesting questions about yellow jackets in the vegetable garden, they believe that they're down in the marigolds or something. Yellow jackets do nest in the ground. And when they do this, they can really cause you some trouble. You'll be very, very surprised when you don't realize they're there and suddenly, you know, they're flying up your sleeves or up your pants leg or something else. It's really a mess. Here's the thing. They're busy during the day, but they're very, very quiet at night. So if you will go out right after dark, find that hole, and yeah, you have to poke into the hole a little bit. That's going to disturb them a little bit, but mostly they will be asleep at that time. Poke in a little bit and pour in. I like to do this. When I've had to do it, I will get a watering can with a long spout on it. Not a rosette, just a long spout. And then I will pour that. Use that to pour in a solution of liquid seven or anything else that is in that category. I do not use seven very often. I do find that it is the best thing for controlling yellow jackets in that nest. And by the way, if you have ever had that, if you've ever had that situation where you actually dig out the nest, it's very impressive. Very, very impressive. Papa D is in Pass Christian on the phone. What's going on?
I've been listening to you talk about Smith County watermelon.
Yep, you getting hungry with me? Come on.
Yes, you know, all my mama's family, that's where they're from. They were all watermelon growers down there in Cohey and Raleigh and Mines. Anyway, did you get my picture of my wife text to you about with my sweet olives?
I did.
I got one dying that's about 7. I cannot figure it out. What's caused it? There's no bugs anywhere. There's no mites. There's no nothing.
I don't know the answer. Looking at the picture, I have to tell you, Pop, it really does look like stress. Like, in other words, over the years, the lower leaves fell off due to stress, and the top couldn't quite recover enough to make a good situation. I'm going to say, even though it's July, the good news is you've got at least 3 or 4 months of heavy-duty growing season left for you there. So I'm going to suggest that you do a little pruning and, like, maybe more than you would ordinarily do. I would probably take a foot off of the one that is really sick. And let's see, then fertilize it, see if we can't get it to come on and grow in the canopy. We're not ever going to get the stems to start growing again, I don't think. But we might be able to get a nice thick canopy, more like the other one is, and help this one get that way. Okay? Give it a try. I hate to tell you to prune in July, but I think it's time.
Well, thank you very much. The only thing I could think of is I had an operation last fall when we had that drought, and I'd put some clay and other amenities in there. I think it got too dry.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it looks like it does look as if it has been stressed in one form or another. And if it had been too much water, you would expect to see leaf spot or something else that you could tell. So, yeah, I think you're probably right that it was the prolonged drought. Okay.
Well, we both really enjoy your show.
Thank you
very much for your advice.
Tell her thanks for sending the photo, and take care of yourself. We will talk to you again soon. Thanks, Pop. Well. Look who's here.
Well, good morning.
We have you on the mic now. Good morning, sir. Mark Patrick is here. How's things in Peach's World?
Wow. Busy.
You got some great photos today. I was able to see some of the things that came in. The palm trees are on top of my list.
Yeah, mine too.
I only have palmettos, okay? But my palmettos usually bloom and make fruit. And this year they shot up their stalk and put out like 2 little flowers and then wimped out on me. So I know they're not happy, but
sometimes that's a good thing because, you know, those seeds tend to come up where you don't want them.
And they take so long to germinate that you hate not to let them come up.
Right.
They're 10-year things or something. But palm trees in general have suffered last year, just like everything did, between too much heat in the summer. Believe it or not, yes, sometimes it's too hot even for a palm tree.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Particularly for some of the ones that are hardy here, like windmill. Windmill can't take that 100 degrees for a week too successfully.
Neither can men, actually.
They look kind of, they lose their lowers, and then the top fronds are kind of sticking out like a bad cowlick.
Right,
and they just don't look too great. What are we doing? What can we do for them this year, you think?
Well, fertilize.
Yeah.
You know, I use an organic palm food. You know, it doesn't smell great, but they like it. You know, most of mine are in containers.
Yeah.
So I have to water them a good bit. You know, believe it or not, you know, even though palm trees will grow in a desert type situation, they have to have some water also.
Well, they're very deeply rooted in the desert.
They are.
And that's, you know, they're the ones that the joke in the desert is that the palm trees win, you know, because they get to the deep water before anything else can.
Exactly.
And that's how come they continue to look so good. But if I've got them in my home, if somebody say, I put in a landscape last year, got 2 palms. How do I know if they're okay? How can I make sure that if I'm watering once a week and maybe that's too much? Do you ever tell people to poke them and see if the edges are soft or hard?
I think sometimes
you can tell a little bit more about, particularly a young palm, that way.
Excuse me, I'm having technical difficulty this morning. But yes, and if you're not seeing new growth coming up out of the middle by this point in the year,
that worries me.
You may have an issue.
That worries me.
That's, you know, a sure sign if you're not seeing new growth. Sago palms have taken a real lick the last couple of years.
Tough time. The 2 that I have are sad.
Yeah. And if they haven't, what I would call, bolted their new fronds out, Might not be good.
The good news is my ponytail has done well. My Zigzag have both put up some new growth, but they took a hit last year, too, just being outdoors during all of that.
Your Zigzag is impressive.
It wants to reach over and smack somebody. Yeah, it wants to reach over and smack somebody. I'm trying really hard to have to build a new room on my house just for those plants. All right, now, we need to step away. We're going to stir up just a this and that and the other thing, but I will tell you that we'll be right back.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish.
When hell strikes.
If you've never Lido shuffled, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Never.
Well, never. You're a little more sedate than I am at times, sir. I know you might not think that.
At times.
But those of us who are Boskaggs fiends, as I am, have Lido shuffled our way up and down the West Coast on many occasions.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
How much do you know about ants? We know that we don't like the ones that sting us.
Well, it's funny you should say that. My brother mentioned to me that they're finding fire ants all the way up in, like, North Missouri.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same thing. When it gets warmer, they thrive.
And I tell them, I said, well, the good news is I will be gone before they take over the world.
The armadillos, though, maybe they may beat them.
Yeah. And we've decided that my technical difficulty is I probably have water in my ear.
Oh, well,
I'm not sure.
That's what you get from swimming at midnight. There are the citizen science effort in ants is incredible. There's not just you and me. There are people that are interested, and every time somebody starts a study, they begin. get more and more data. So what we've been doing this time. Everybody's always been aware. This is Virginia Tech, you know, big farming area, and people are aware that not necessarily fire ants, but they are concerned because of the movement of fire ants. So they're checking out what the other ants are doing so we can keep track of stuff. Well, of course, they hitchhike on farm equipment because that's where they live.
Yeah.
And that gets them from one place to the next place. Unfortunately, It's a case where they are not just moving about on agricultural equipment anymore. And the citizen scientists have been examining tire treads and all of the evidence of them. We're now finding that they are literally social media groups in Taiwan, for anywhere there's an island, to try and measure the ant population there because they are getting so intense and because of increasing temperatures and increasing concerns about import.
Right.
I have another story, though, that's going to be even more distressing for people that don't like ants.
Oh, great. Here we go.
Here we go,
folks. Hold on, everybody.
This is, to me, one of the most fascinating things that has come across my desk, and I love this kind of stuff. We've always thought, I was brought up to think that a surgeon was a very specific talent. In other words, the people that have operated on my body in various parts have fixed things, and they're not distressed at all by the fact that it's a human being and that's, you know, they're, right. they have a certain right. ability to detach. I presumed always my life, you shouldn't presume, but I have, that that was a human quality. Well, it turns out that it's not. There is one ant. There is a Florida carpenter ant. They're not even that far away from us. Plain old brown, just ant, you know, thing. Actually now does surgery on the limbs of fellow colony mates. And they do, but they don't just go chop it off. They could cut off the one that is wounded, cut off the one that is compromised. This is dangerous. This means that the ants are
scary.
This means that the ants are going to beat us at some point.
I may have to excuse myself.
And you may have made you may have told your brother the real thing.
I really
because if they can learn how to put themselves back together, no matter what we do to them, and if they're as good as my surgeons have been, we're in trouble. It's an ant's world, and we just live in it. You know?
I mean, I was about to tell my story that I'm pretty sure I hauled some fire ants from Madison to Rankin County last
Uh-oh.
Week, but I don't think that really qualifies.
They don't have tags on them, so we can't tell exactly. Yeah. But it is that kind of worry.
Good morning, Lance.
Invasive ants.
Hey, morning.
How are you?
Nice to see you, bro.
Good to see you. But you
it
know,
looked
we
like
have
you had a fun week.
We have to behave. We have to behave today because Mama's back.
That's right. The grown up is in the room. Y'all got really good reviews. People thought y'all were a lot of fun, and no one told me that I had to turn your microphones off. So it's okay.
All right, A plus.
As far as we know, we did all
A+.
Right.
A plus.
I don't know. I'm really happy to tell you that we're now doing at the beginning of July what we would have ordinarily been doing in August, which is to say replanting some of the annual pots. I have calabrocas that have quit blooming.
Yeah.
They shouldn't stop. They're fertilized, they're cut back, and they're just sitting there looking at me. So I did this morning.
I see
the banana.
Yeah.
I mean, this
they're
is
out
beautiful.
Of control.
We're seeing everything go into bloom and just bloom out.
Right.
And I do think that goes into our notice, our point of view about it being, it's going to be hotter. And it's going to be, if we're lucky, it will continue to rain a little bit, but it's definitely going to be hotter. Everything's got to get its flowers on right now.
Well, it's like the comment you made to one of my employees this week. How many times does he change clothes?
All day long.
All day. When it's 96 degrees, you do that often. So it might be time to freshen up your flowers.
Yeah, it's definitely time to grab some of those heat lovers.
Right.
And in my house, at my place, I've noticed something about our sun patients that we're so crazy about. The sun patients are happier in containers than they are in the ground.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't water them enough in the ground.
So that can be true.
I mean, that's my dry bed, but that's why I put them there, so they wouldn't rot. But I'm watering them every day, and they're still not as pretty as the ones that are in the containers.
They are very thirsty. You know, you can do them in the ground, but you better have irrigation or a full-time gardener.
I'm irrigation.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all, and this is the truth. My neighbor said, "What are you doing?" And I mean, he's a lovely man. He just thinks I'm a little odd. "What are you doing?" Well, my everybody's air conditioner, central air conditioning units drip water at some point. Okay,
right.
They have to have a place where that all goes. So I catch that water in a 5-gallon bucket. I can tell you how many hours and what temperature, how soon it takes it to fill up. Then I take it and fill up a watering can, put the bucket back under there, and I water with it in the morning. This is about 6 o'clock in the morning when my neighbor says, "What are you doing?" He's out walking a dog. I'm walking the watering can, you know, up and down the driveway. But they're blooming, but the plants themselves, the sun patients, which are the sun-loving impatiens, just are not getting. I'm used to them growing and getting to be like a foot across.
Right.
And they're not.
Well, I had one that.
But they're blooming.
There was kind of strange. Setting in an out-of-the-way place, and I might have forgot to water it a day or two.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it did not come back. I tried to resuscitate.
It got lonely.
But it was like, okay, you're about to meet the green machine.
Well, the Claire Curtis mums have taken over the front bed. They are now eating the zinnias.
Right.
And I didn't mean for that to happen, but I've had to carve out one little space for my zinnias because I still want them to be able to bloom. I think it's going to be a great year for the Clara Curtis mums.
Oh, man, mine are...
The leaves look beautiful. The stems are nice and stiff, and they have really appreciated the amount of water we've had this spring.
So when do you quit cutting your Clara Curtis back?
Flag Day.
Flag Day.
Mm-hmm, last week.
What about that Clematis paniculata that I've been carving on? Should I stop about now or give it another month?
I'm going to stop now. I stop all that Joe Pye weed and the clematis. I stop everything in July. But I like to say Flag Day because it's a little earlier.
Yeah.
And it also means that if you don't get it done by Flag Day, you can get it done by now, by the Independence Day, or maybe by my birthday, and you better stop because you won't have any flowers in the fall. Last year, I had not enough of mine had come into bloom in the Clara Curtis world by the time of the Bottle Tree Garden Tour. That's the first week of October. So I'm trying to get them to bloom by then. So I only pinched them once.
My rule of thumb used to be 1st of June, 1st of July, 1st of August, and then leave them alone. But even then, depending on the weather, they can get too big, and you have to stake them. And,
well,
you know.
And I kind of like the blousy effect. I like them to kind of fly up in the air and throw their flowers everywhere.
And I'm a little uptight.
You're more controlled than I am.
Controlled is better than uptight. Thank you. That was a kind word. What have you had going on? Photos.
Oh, this is great. Life is too short not to have an irrigation system. There's
Amen.
A lot to be said
Amen.
For that.
Or a full-time gardener as far as that's concerned.
Well, those are good.
Yeah.
And in my case, the plants all yell and I try to keep up with them. But that's... We have said, Mark Peaches Patrick is here today, by the way, and we are talking about gardens and gardening and what's going on. He is, of course, the motivator, the person, the owner of Southern Charm Design Service.
Southern Charm Garden Design.
Garden Design Service. Yeah, we're not going to design everything.
Not everything. No, we can't do that. I mean, I'd be happy to, but I'm a little busy.
Not. Yeah, you might not want that. The thing that we talk about all the time, and I didn't have it written down, so I got the name wrong. I apologize. The thing that we always talk about is what now? In other words, we're already looking at Trey has sent in vegetable seeds today because we're about to start the fall garden. I have in my newsletter this past week, I just did four versions of Chinese cabbage because I'm absolutely convinced that this is really the only time in Zone 8 that you should grow Chinese cabbage, starting it in the summer to grow through the fall.
Right.
And it has much better taste. It performs better as a plant. But when we talk about all of these things that we're doing, sometimes we just kind of shove that container of annuals back behind something else because it quit blooming.
I did that this morning.
See, when we could come out, and this is when the moss roses really take
it
over.
Is.
This is when portulaca looks absolutely beautiful. There are some things that we can do at this point in the year that really our friends, shall we say, Papa D and Ocean Springs folks, they're all blooming all the time. They're saying, how come y'all don't already have that? Well, because we wait for summer. We're trying to get those pansies to bloom into June, you know. They're not doing that so well anymore.
No.
Times are changing.
I've got pansies popping up all in my flower beds, and I'm having to pull them like weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Coleus is one of my favorites for this time of year, because if you've got a dead spot.
Absolutely.
You know, it's time to cut your vinca back if it's gotten too big, or if you're using like a cascading or trailing vinca, give it a haircut, throw it some fertilizer.
Those impatient stems get to be green and fat and big around and only have leaves and flowers at the top, you really can come in and chop them off and leave about 4 inches of stem, and they will come right back and be beautiful by Labor Day. They're just they're indefatigable in this kind of weather.
It would be moderately disturbing to most gardeners if they saw what I cut and throw away on a daily basis. I kind of do it.
He would like to say cut and compost, but he doesn't do that.
Yeah, actually, you know, I composted my tomatoes last night with basil and zucchini leaves. I thought you'd like
off
that.
Off they went. That's going to be a nice heap.
I mean, I've got 4-foot basil, you know, and I'm just cutting it off and mulching with it.
My friends, this is a fertilizer malfunction. That's what this is.
Well, you know, everything I water, or we water, goes down the hill to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's
as
been
a result,
hot.
Yeah, as a result, you're watering everything
just
else.
Like,
Well, I do have a good bit of basil. I was thinking about cutting it off again today. And if you have some and you've got a nice flavor to it, the smell is good, cut it in hot weather. That's when you really either want to use it or freeze it or whatever you I don't dry mine, but some people do. But it's a really, really nice time when it's particularly strong to make a basil oil. And that's another thing that we've talked about around here is what do you do with all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
My
celery. And then, you know, another monumental thing for me this morning is I have my first evergreen wisteria bloom.
Oh, my goodness. That's a pretty plant.
It's a beautiful
plant. It's a really pretty plant.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is it too? Can you plant corn in July? It's really not a good idea. Corn does not do as well. There are too many bugs in the summer that are more than happy to take on the corn. And that's, as a result, it's one better done very, very early in the springtime for harvest now. I can hear my farmer friend that grows corn going, that's true. That's true. And by the way, speaking of when you fertilize, that corn thing really is knee-high and hip-high. You got to fertilize it as it grows. If you're growing short corn, you're growing Merit or one of the varieties that only gets to be 4 feet tall, you do it when it's ankle-high and when it's knee-high. But you do literally go by your points, you know. Let's see what Bill's doing in Pascagoula. Welcome in, Bill. Thanks for calling the Garden Mama Show.
Yeah, I listen to your show every Saturday morning.
Thank you.
I've got a little issue. Well, I've got a big issue, really. I have 4x12 raised beds. I have six of them. They're in the ground raised beds, you know, with 2x12s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got this strange grass. They've got two kinds. One of them has a little root that's about as big around the pencil lead, and it goes for days down in that garden.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even hardly dig them up with a shovel. I've got another species of grass. It's got a fat round root, and it goes for days down into the garden. You can't even pull them up.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was, you can't pull them up. You can't even dig them up. You have to dig a hole to shine them.
Mm-hmm.
My question
mm-hmm.
was, can I put Roundup on those to kill them, to get them out of my garden?
Well, yes, certainly you can. It might or might not work. And I'm not a fan of using Roundup, and I don't use it in my edibles. I don't actually use it at all, but I don't use it in my edibles. I want to talk to you about this, and we've got to take a quick break. But do you know nutgrass? Do you know that plant?
I've heard of it. I think that's one of our problems.
Stick around with me. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk to you about the grassy weeds in these raised beds. We got to fix this. Stick around.
We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden with you.
We are the people, Mississippians. We are the land, growing food, fiber, and timber. We are there when you need us, from the roof over your head to the food on your table. We are small town, but big moments, your next door neighbors. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone, propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
Family term.
Bus stop wet day, she's there. I say, reshell my umbrella. Bus stop, bus goes, she stays, let goes under my umbrella.
No, I do not sing out loud.
She is lip syncing, ladies and gentlemen.
But I know all the words. I can't help that. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. We got a little bit more to go this morning, and we are talking to Bill in Pascagoula. Bill, you are not going to like what I have to tell you.
I'm a big boy. Go ahead.
Okay. You've got nutgrass, and nutgrass is one of those things, as you say, when you pull it, it just makes more. And you've also got one of the other. There's four or five different little grasses that can do the root proliferation that you're talking about. Do you know about solarization? Right. Have you heard me talk about that before? I really want you to consider this. You said if you were going to spray Roundup on it, obviously there's not anything left in there to harvest. Roundup will take the stuff down, but it also creates a problem in your soil. And it also, frankly, doesn't do anything to keep the nut grass from coming right back up. So I would prefer that you take 6 mil clear plastic, tightly put it over each of those beds, and literally walk away from it until September. Then you'll have a good 6-8 weeks at this point of sunrise to sunset sun. It'll come in, it will go through the plastic and create the greenhouse effect. And at that point, you will get weed kill. Everything, all the seeds that are in there will die to a depth of 6 inches. And at that point, you can clean it out and replant. And I know it's a terrible thing to say to just ignore your space, but clear plastic does the job for you. And Mark's going to agree.
Yes, I'm shaking my head. It's basically like putting the nutgrass in a microwave.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And we can't microwave it, so,
No. Yeah, nutgrass is terrible.
I have heard you talk about that before.
Mm-hmm. It really does work.
I didn't know that it was clear.
Yes, clear plastic. Absolutely.
I thought that would be better.
No, the black. What happens is we don't get the light effect from the sunlight. We actually get underneath the black plastic, we get heating, but we don't get the effect of the sunlight, which multiplies it. So the clear plastic, 6 mil too. It's got to be that thick stuff. Then that's really. I mean, it is a huge difference. I don't have nut grass anymore, and I had it when I moved to my place. It's gone.
Really,
man. It's everywhere.
So I'm on
any other grass, I can pull it up by the roots and it's over with.
Yeah,
but that stuff
is not.
Back.
And in fact, it all recedes. All of them recede and make a big mess.
Well, then it's actually a sedge, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not really a grass.
It's not a grass, but it's a grassy weed.
And
I think it's coming up from outside. My 2x12 raised board. It's coming out from outside because it's right up against the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to dig it up, and it I couldn't because the root went outside the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's a bad stuff.
Take that clear plastic and spread it across and go all the way over the edges of your bed, and you'll take care of a whole lot of it.
And cook it.
Got you.
Okay.
Let's cook it.
I want to see the pictures. I want to see the pictures, and I want to see you smiling in September. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye. Take care. You know, that's so hard. It is a big problem. And we're not even going to get to coggin grass, but that's a different, that's another one too.
Or rattlesnake, reed. All of those terrible ones.
Oh, here's one of those things. This is the deal. Donnie says, he's in Brandon.
Okay.
I've heard that crepe myrtle black bark, which is the scale insect disease, can be successfully treated by spraying a mixture of Dawn liquid dish detergent and water. If so, what amount is this? And the answer is no.
No.
You can use the Dawn spray that they talk about, and when they recommend this to you, they'll generally say a quarter cup in a 3-gallon sprayer, which if you've got a hand sprayer means 2 tablespoons in a quart of water kind of thing. That's going to help if you are trying to prevent black spot on roses. If you know that your roses, the leaves are going to get yellow and get black spots on them, you can use that Dawn and it will in fact work. But the problem is it has to be reapplied over and over and over and over because it dissolves and it dissipates so quickly. So that's the first piece of that. The second piece is that crepe myrtle scale, where the bark is actually black, is a multi-generational problem. And a spray of any one thing isn't going to solve it. If you wish to save that crepe myrtle, you need to go talk to someone at a garden center about systemic insecticides, and it'll take about a year to control it. I have to tell you, we do have too many crepe myrtles. Yeah. And we have some sick ones.
I can see you over there about to get on the soapbox.
Well, we
and
have,
I don't know if I should knock you off of it and
no,
get up there with you.
No, you can knock me off of it if you want to. I just don't think they're all worth saving.
Yeah.
Some of them are.
They're maybe a little overplanted.
Just a little bit. And some, frankly, in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I have one that has powdery mildew on it even as we speak.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
and
try to save that
there
thing.
Are so...
Or
there is so much misinformation out there about crepe myrtle bark scale.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to somebody who knows what you're talking about
and don't believe everything.
Yeah, go to
MSUcares.com and search up Blake Layton, L-A-Y-T-O-N. I'll write that name on your
very
thing.
Very nice,
so you can
gentleman.
Real smart, too.
Yes, he is.
Jackson Utica with one of our favorites, Angel Trumpets.
Yeah.
Tell me about your Brugmansias.
Well, here's what happened. Somebody gave me some cuttings 2 years ago, okay? And I've got them all planted and stuff like this. And they came, and they survived the winter. They came up and everything. But they didn't do anything throughout the summer. You know, there wasn't a lot of growth. And I went back later in the summer, and I saw that our yard guy had taken the weed eater, and he had, you know, he had whipped the bark off of them, okay?
Ouch.
So they had a little, so they had a little bit of growth on top, and they survived. They survived. Now they're coming back, but it's just a little bit, but they're coming back from the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, that is a good thing. Because that means
a miracle
that is. It's kind of a miracle if you consider that they had no bark on them very shortly ago. Here's the thing. The prettiest angel trumpets you will ever see are on a slope on the side of Interstate 55. Okay? And what this means is they're barely getting any attention. They have lots and lots of sun, particularly on their base. And indeed, they have that opportunity to grow from the base. The clump just gets bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. It's not something that I can tell you that I don't think they've killed it by any means, but you certainly got it slowed down if you lost some of the bark off of it. I would give it some fertilizer. I would give it some water if we have a dry week. And I would figure you're going to have fabulous blooms in the fall.
Yeah. And that's another thing. People put a lot of pressure on that plant, and it's a short day bloomer, isn't it? It's not going to really bloom until the fall.
Yeah.
So you're probably right on time.
Mm-hmm. You're doing what it needs done.
Well, I think you're being optimistic. I'm not going to look for any blooms this year, but I'll water them and fertilize them.
Well,
and
I hope I can surprise you.
Mulch them real well.
I hope I can surprise you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you very much. Brugmansias, for the most part, have about a 6-week turnaround from when they begin putting leaves on until they can put on a flower bud, if it is possible. The folks that breed these are always trying to get them to get sooner.
Right.
But the flowers tend to be bigger if you give them at least a month and a half or so to form. So that's fun, though.
What I love that plant. Thing. I wish I had a place for it.
Well, and it has to have hot feet. It's one of the few things that really, really does need a very hot location. And frankly, doesn't like as much water as we're getting in this part. You know?
I enjoy my neighbor across the street. Hers are beautiful.
Yeah, and usually it's the people that ignore them. You know,
Well,
they do well.
She's an elderly lady that's been gardening all her life, and you know,
she knows what to leave alone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Talk to me about the caterpillars on oak trees. We didn't do it. We're out. Our time has run out.
Oh,
thank you, Mark. Guess what?
Yeah.
We'll do it again next time. Appreciate y'all. See you next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing The Garden Mama Show.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
At Progressive.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.